As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from stories from a project that's part of a website called Alice's Garage, which is part of an online space for LGBTI elders. The website describes the project like this. Abundance is a story pantry affirming transgender and gender diverse, TGD, people as they age. The project was inspired by recent research on TGD elders experiencing experiences of aging and abuse. We heard from TGD people that, alongside strategies to address rights violations, there's a need to affirm TGD identities and build hope. Abundance draws on the wisdom of TGD elders in partnership with younger TGD folk to document stories and offer hope for TGD people as they age. Abundance documents these stories using text, photographs, and Fowler's jars. These jars are often used to preserve fruit and vegetables when they are in abundance, so they can be shared with others or kept with leaner times. Reverend Karen will weave some reflections on abundance with the stories. Our first story is from Tina Healy. The thing I love most about my life right now is having time. Time to listen to music and people. Time to listen to my own heart and let it speak through my writing. This is the sweetness of the elder season. Today I did two things. First, I combined the color and flavor of pears and nectarines and preserved them in a sweet syrup to be opened later and enjoyed. Then I combined the wisdom of my fellow LGBTIQ elders and preserved those memories in laughter, so that I can laugh with them over and over again.
Tina's focus on having time is something I resonate with sometimes. She talks about it being part of the elder season, and I know so many people who say things like, I can't wait to retire, so I have time to do the things I want to do. There's so much busyness in life with work and families and keeping up with our homes and our finances and our social lives and, you know, social transformation. It feels like time is something we don't have in abundance. There are only so many hours in the day, right? So when we do find the time to spend with the people we love, it is precious. And to me, that's where the abundance comes in. Tina talks about preserving memories in laughter, like the sweet syrup in her jar of fruit, and about listening to music as well as people. Our circle is widened when we learn to become present to these parts of our lives, listening to each other, sharing what's important in our lives, appreciating the presence of music and laughter and sweetness, these things that can make time, even when it's limited, feel like it stretches.
Our next story is from Michelle Brooker. What I enjoy most about my life is living in a welcoming community locally and across Melbourne. Coming out to friends, neighbors, and acquaintances, and strangers, and being met with respectful curiosity, acceptance, and honoring my identity. I love contributing to my communities, supporting and advancing transgender people, and being an active participant in both my Buddhist communities. My jar is about vision, improvising, planning, and accidental outcomes. I didn't start out intending to blanch the asparagus, but I got there in the end.
Michelle's story is overtly around the idea that we are active in that widening of the circle of love in our lives and in the lives of others. It's up to us, as I preach often, to make each other feel welcome and safe and supported and nurtured. So often we feel like there isn't enough, that we aren't enough, and we need each other to remember that, yes, we are. when we hold the vision of abundant love together, when we dream about what the beloved community can look like, what it can feel like, when we practice the flexibility of adapting to times and events and people that try our patience and our values, by holding each other to those values, then we learn and we practice the resilience that lets us invite in those people who try us, invite in those people who push our buttons, and go out to meet them where they are. This is work. The Reverend Erica Hewitt, a UU minister who serves in a wedding ministry in Maine and who curates our association's online worship resource, led a service at the summer camp I attended in July. And that service was about this kind of work. She reminded us that love is a muscle that we have to exercise if it is to stay present and supple in this world. And she brought us through an exercise where she said, love is a muscle, and invited us to say, and we're here to flex it. Love is a muscle.
We're here to flex it.
Thank you.
Our last story is from Alice. The apples made a snug fit in the pot, and as they floated and jostled in the water, I was reminded of a short conversation. A few friends of mine, their brother and I, had a wonderful day at a water park, and when we tired of the rides, we sat on inflatable donuts and floated around the lazy river. A six-year-old was feuding with my friend's little brother, but when they finished splashing and chasing each other, she came up to us. She asked why my nails were painted, and I said, they made me happy. She nodded, and then asked if I was a girl. I said yes. She nodded again and then paddled away. I am always amazed at how quickly kids understand. Interactions like this comfort me and fill me with hope for our future.
What you all aren't getting to see is the picture of Alice because I couldn't get the projectors set up. Alice has blonde hair and a beard and is wearing an apron with a beautiful pink shirt underneath and is holding her jar of apples with her painted nails wrapped around them. Alice's story brings me back to the hymn we sang just a little while ago because she's talking about answering yes to life. The simple recognition that creating happiness was a good enough reason to paint her nails is a powerful act of affirmation. And her sharing that simple conversation with a stranger invites us into a different way of thinking about identity. Love is a muscle. Love is a muscle. Love is an abundant resource. We heard a story about pie with our children, where there was more than enough for more folks than expected in a simple pie. And when that pie ran out, another one was made. I've been using the metaphor of a circle that can be widened as I reflect on love. But pie is a finite resource, even when you can make more. Amy Bloom, in a short story in a book about many forms of love that she calls Come to Me, writes about a mom explaining an aspect of the nature of love to one of her daughters. She says, love is not a pie, honey. I love you and Ellen, the sister, differently because you are different people, wonderful people, but not at all the same. And so who I am with each of you is different, unique to us. I don't choose between you. Last June, when our association's General Assembly was in New Orleans, two of our national staff people were attacked and severely injured while walking in the French Quarter on our last night there. And one of the first acts of our new president, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, was to go to the hospital to visit them and then inform the assembly the next morning that this had happened. And then a couple of days later, she wrote a pastoral letter. And she called us in that letter to remember the universal love of our faith tradition as we thought about both our staffers and the young men who attacked them. "No one," she said, "is outside the circle of love." And this is what inspired Erica. Love is a muscle. It is in this spirit that we move into a time of memorializing our transgender siblings that we have lost to violence this year. Transgender Day of Remembrance is an annual event that was set aside to memorialize people who have been killed due to anti-transgender hate or prejudice. Its beginning can be traced back to a night in late November 1998, following the murder of Rita Hester. It shook her community, and there was a walk through the streets of Boston where she lived and a candlelight vigil outside her apartment that kicked off a project called Remembering Our Dead. And then the following year, a much larger candlelight vigil was held in San Francisco, and each year the remembrance has grown. And so it's now an international act of remembrance for those who were killed in these acts of anti-transgender violence. In some places, the week leading up to or following the Day of Remembrance has been a time of extensive awareness building and advocacy, and there are several events happening throughout Madison tomorrow, which is the actual Day of Remembrance. And I have been involved with attending or creating a vigil around this time for years. And this year, as we explore the themes of courage and of abundance, it feels right to offer a memorial during our worship time. Because the Transgender Day of Remembrance is more than just a memorial, it raises public awareness of the hatred and violence against those in our transgender community. It publicly mourns and honors the lives of those who might otherwise be forgotten, giving their silenced lives new voice. It's an opportunity to meet hatred and indifference with love and respect. And so this morning we remember the forgotten, speaking their names and honoring them in our sacred space. We begin our time of memorializing in prayer with words written by the Reverend Ashley Horan, Executive Director of the Minnesota UU Social Justice Network.
Transcending spirit of love and solidarity, presence of compassion and justice, we call upon you to be with us today as we gather here. Hearts both heavy with sadness and enlarged with hope and joy. As we come together in commemoration of these lives that have been so senselessly taken, we are grateful for the names we will speak out loud today. While much of the world denies the violence committed against these people, we gather today to break the silence and remember together. Even as we mourn the deaths of those we have known and those we never met, we give thanks for all the love that these people contributed to the world. Although it is their deaths that bring us together today, we choose to affirm their lives and identities as we remember them. We send our compassionate thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of those whose loved ones have been killed as a result of ignorance, hatred, and fear. May they find comfort and strength as they move forward with their lives. We also extend our empathy to those individuals and institutions weighed down by the heavy burden of bigotry. While we reject all violence and injustice, we affirm our commitment to work for the change in the spirit of love for all, and to meet smallness and hatred with a largeness of spirit. Although today is a day of mourning the dead, we are gathered here to affirm the power and dignity of all life. Remember and extend our caring embrace to all those still living who suffer anti-trans violence in the form of prejudice, healthcare injustices, professional discrimination, incarceration, or social exclusion. May we all find the vision and strength to stand together in compassionate solidarity with one another until the world we live in is the world of which we dream. May this occasion for remembrance provide us with comfort, healing, and renewed commitment to building communities rooted in love. Blessed be, Ashe, and Amen. I invite you to rise now in body and or spirit. (clears throat) 285 people across the world have been killed in violence against transgender and gender diverse people since last November, 24 of them in the U.S. We will begin our memorial by naming the nations in which the 261 people who have been killed in nations outside the U.S. came from, happened in, and light a candle for each nation. We will then read the names of those killed in the U.S. and light a candle for each individual. The speaking of the names will be followed by a time of silence. 5 in Argentina. 151 in Brazil. 1 in Canada. 1 in Chile. 10 in Colombia. 2 in Dominican Republic. 1 in Ecuador. 7 in El Salvador. 2 in Honduras. 3 in India. 1 in Italy. 2 in Malaysia. 47 in Mexico. 1 in the Netherlands. 5 in Pakistan. 1 in Paraguay. 6 in the Philippines. 1 in Russia. 2 in Saudi Arabia. 1 in South Africa. 1 in Sweden. 5 in Thailand. 5 in Venezuela.
5 in the United States of America. India Monroe, also known as India the Dark Vixen. Misha Caldwell. Jamie Lee Wounded Arrow. Jojo Stryker. Jaquarius Holland. Tiara Richmond, also known as KK Collier. China Gibson, aka China Doll Dupree. Sierra McElveen. Alfonza Watson. Kenne McFadden. Che Juicy Reed. Mix Boston, Bostick. Cheryl Faulkner. Imer Alvarado. Kendra Adams, also known as Josie Berrios and Kimbella Rose. Ebony Morgan. T.T. Dangerfield. Guinevere River Song. kiwi herring. Anthony Bubbles Torres. Derica Banner. Allie Lee Steinfeld. Stephanie Montez. And Candace Towns. And we light a final candle for those who have been killed, whose names or circumstances we do not yet know. Thank you. I invite you to remain standing for this morning's meditation, which is a litany written by Erica Hewitt based on that pastoral prayer written by Susan Frederick Gray. Your part in the litany is no one is outside the circle of love. Will you say that with me? No one is outside the circle of love. We know that hurt moves through the world, perpetrated by action, inaction, and indifference. Our values call us to live in the reality of the heartbreak of our world, remembering that no one is outside the circle of love. We who are Unitarian Universalists not only affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person, we also assume the inherent wholeness of every being, despite apparent brokenness. No one is outside the circle of love. We know that things break or break down. Promises, friendship, sobriety, hope, communication. This breaking happens because our human hearts and our very institutions are frail and imperfect. We make mistakes. Life is messy. No one is outside the circle of love. With compassion as our guide, we seek the well-being of all people. We seek to dismantle systems of oppression that undermine our collective humanity. We believe that we are here to guide one another toward love. No one is outside the circle of love. No matter how fractured we are or once were, we can make whole people of ourselves. We are whole at our core because of the great, unnameable, sometimes inconceivable love in which we live. No one is outside the circle of love. May it be so. May we be so.